So today's reading is from the book of Judges, chapter 6, just a few verses, verse 6 to 11. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says." Started a bit early there, sorry, I do apologise. Verse 11. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joah the Asbarite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all these wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hands of Midian." And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive."
You know, 2 weeks ago, I kind of had these two stories, these two illustrations that I really liked. And as I thought about it, I thought, well, I know what I decided to do. I decided to use one of these illustrations as a basis for my Sunday message. It was a story, wasn't it, a couple of weeks ago, for those that were here, about the submarine. And I spoke about finding a place of peace even in the storm of life. But the other illustration, the other story that I had, I thought, well, I decided to use as the basis for my church magazine article. It was called "Our Weakness, His Strength." For those that don't know, I always write the opening article of our church magazine. And it was the illustration or the story about the boy who had one arm and yet he took up judo lessons. Now, after I spoke a few weeks ago on peace and I used that illustration of the submarine, I thought to myself, well, I'd quite like to have shared a message using the other illustration too. And I thought, I can't really do that because I've used that illustration already in my magazine article. And then I thought to myself, I wonder who reads it anyway. Which would be a test, wouldn't it, really? I hope maybe some night. But I thought to myself, I can still get away with it, I thought. So I thought, I'm going to still use that illustration and I want to use it as the basis, as well, obviously, as the word that has just been read for us today. For those of you that haven't read my magazine article last week, let me read the story to you. It's the story of a boy who began lessons with an old Japanese judo master. The boy was only 10 years old and he had lost his left arm in a car accident. He was doing well, so he couldn't understand why, after 3 months of training, the master had taught him only one move. "This was the only move you know, but this is the only move you'll ever need to know," his master replied. Several months later, the master took the boy to his first tournament. He won all three matches. Still amazed by his success, the boy was now in the final. And he asked his master, why had he won? You won for two reasons, the master answered. First is, you've almost mastered one of the most difficult throws in all of judo. And second, the only known defense to that move is for your opponent to grab your left arm. And I put in bold, the boy's biggest weakness had become his biggest strength. I want to talk a little bit more around that today. And the first thing I really want to say is that weakness does not count us out. In brackets on my notes I put, in fact, it's the reason we are in. Firstly, because of Jesus, our weakness does not count us out of being with God. Really important. The reality, you see, is that none of us, and I mean none of us, are good enough. The Bible says that we all fall short of the glory of God. We have all messed up. We have all sinned. We've all made mistakes. All of us have gone against our Creator God's best plan for us. In word, in deed, and in thought. Basically, we are all in a place of weakness. So then, we all need a saviour. The good news is, isn't it? John 3:16. Jesus died for all. See, our weakness does not count us out. In fact, it's the reason we are in. Because of Jesus, our weakness does not count us out of being with God. We are all have that weakness of sin in our lives. But because of Jesus on the cross, we can all be counted in to a relationship with our Heavenly God if we accept and understand the cross. But the second thing I want to say is that our weakness does not count us out from being used by God. This is supposed to be my main point today. On Wednesday, we had our fellowship group here, and we've been looking at something called pneumas. And one of the pneumas we looked at on, it's like a video, it's like a 10-minute parable DVD. And we watch it and then we discuss it. And the one that we looked at this week was called Dust. All these pneumas have one-word titles. This one was called Dust. And it kind of brought out the fact that when Jesus was around, Jesus was a rabbi, a Jewish rabbi. And we considered how Jesus chose as his followers not the best of the best. Because, you see, what was taught to us about on the DVD was the fact that the best of the best would have already had a rabbi. They would have grown up and then they would have got to one level and the rabbi, if they were really good, the rabbi would have said, you're doing really well, you carry on. And eventually they would become a disciple of the rabbi. But those that didn't make the grade, those that were not good enough, they were like, no, sorry, you're not good enough. Go back now and go and do your job of your mum or your dad. Go and get your trade up. And what we were reminded about is as Jesus walked along the shores and he saw the Andrew and James and John and he called them to follow him, they were fishermen. So they were the ones that had not made the grade. So they were the ones that the rabbi, they'd have been maybe under a rabbi when they were very young, but the rabbi said, yeah, you're not going to make it. You're not going to be able to be like me. You're not going to be able to do like I do. Off you go, back to your job. You might as well be a fisherman. But Jesus called them because he recognized that they could do what he did. They could be like him. And the kind of the word dust meant that they could carry his dust. Jesus chose these disciples, these guys, when he was walking around. They were not the best of the best. But Jesus said, even though you're not the best of the best, even though in your weakness I can still use you. And we know that he went on to do so. And there's so many other examples in the Bible, isn't it? When God chose to use people who I'm pretty sure others would not. The other day I was reading about five excuses Moses made to God when God chose him to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. Moses, this amazing man of God. I mean, we've seen the film Charlton Heston. We've this great story of how God chose this mighty man of God, Moses. But Moses was weak. And he made excuses when God asked him to do the job. He said, I'm not adequate for the task. I'm not good enough. I don't know enough. People won't take me seriously. I'm no good with words. I'm not willing. Go send somebody else, Moses said to God. He was weak, but yet God chose him to use him and to use him mightily. The other day I read about, I might even quite pronounce it, it's Ehud. He was one of the judges in the Old Testament. He was left-handed. Who's left-handed here? Ooh, there's a few of you, see. In those days, being left-handed was not good. Not a good thing. But as I read the story in Judges, and I might have to read it a bit more, maybe preach off it at some point, it's interesting how that left-handedness, if that's the word, gave him an advantage to be used by God in a certain situation. You go and read the story yourselves in the book of Judges. And then, of course, we've got Gideon, who was another judge in the Bible. The background to the story that was read for us, God's people had messed up in the Old Testament. They'd made a load of mistakes, and God had allowed the Midianites to overtake them and to rule them. And God's people were like, oh no, we've messed up. The Midianites have beaten us up. God help. They cry out to God in their weakness. And then we have this amazing thing. God turned to Gideon and said, go in the strength that you have to save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Pardon me, Lord, Gideon said. Basically, God, are you sure about this? He's saying to God. How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. God is saying, look, Gideon is saying, look, I know that the people are under tyranny. They've got these Midianites attacking them from all angles, and we're crying out to you for help. But me, God? I'm like the least of the least. I'm the weakest. I'm like no muscles. I'm like Mr. Muscle from the adverts he used to get the time. In fact, I have a bit of sympathy with Gideon because I never quite understood it, but when I was growing up in my youth group, and we used to do a lot of drama, I was asked to play Gideon. I'm not quite sure why, but why, you know, why? Surely not. Well, maybe, okay. But when you look at these characters in the Bible, when you look at Gideon and Ehud and Moses and the disciples, what we're saying here is our weakness does not count us out from being used by God. Hear that today. Two things. Our weakness does not count you out from being with God, and your weakness does not count you out from being used by God. First point. Two points. First point. Second point is this. Weakness, I believe, creates an opportunity. I said this in my Church Magazine article. If I'm honest, I think God can often work more through our weaknesses than our strengths, as this is a time when we turn to him more, when we rely on him more. You know, I feel sometimes God has to wait for people to hit rock bottom, because it's not until they do they then look up. Do they then cry out? This is often the case of God's people in the Old Testament. This is when Gideon was around. They'd hit wrong bottom. And it wasn't until they hit wrong bottom and the Midianites were beating them up, and they were like in, under term, slavery and all that, so that they suddenly turned back to God. And God's probably been waiting for ages going, come on. But it wasn't until they hit their weakest place did they turn to him and say, we need you, God. To me, and just a little example, it's like a child is trying to do something that a parent knows that they can't. But as their parent goes to help them, the child says, I can do it, I can do it. Who's been there? And as a parent, you sometimes just have to step back and you wait. And then hopefully, eventually, they let you help them. I wonder if this stubbornness is ever in God's people today. Careful where I'm looking. Not looking anywhere. There used to be a Christian wristband, and on the initials of this wristband, it used to have these initials, F-R-O-G, on it. Some will remember it. It would stand for fully reliant on God. People would wear these wristbands to remind them, let's be fully reliant on God. Now, it's not about doing nothing ourselves, but I believe that we do have to acknowledge our constant need of God. That song by Matt Mayer, Lord, I need you every day. I need you. That's a reality. It doesn't mean I can't do anything. It doesn't mean, you know, God has to do everything for me. But I realize that every day I need God. I need his grace. I need his mercy. I need his love. I need his peace. I need his strength. And the good thing about God is he gives it, doesn't he? There used to be another hymn that we used to sing many years ago. A lot of people will know it. But I think it has that real challenge about that, being reliant on God. It's a hymn called, Oh, the Bitter Shame and Sorrow. Let me just read to you these verses. It's a bit old style, but you get it. Verse 1 says, Oh, the bitter shame and sorrow that a time could ever be when I let the Saviour's pity plead in vain and proudly unanswered, all of self and none of thee. Second verse, then it says this, Yet he found me, I beheld him, bleeding on the accused tree, heard him pray, forgive them, Father, and my wishful heart said faintly, some of self and some of thee. Day by day, number 3 verse, day by day his tender mercy, healing, helping, full and free, sweet and strong, ah, so patient, brought me lower where I whispered, less of self and more of thee. And then verse 4, higher than the highest heaven, deeper than the deepest sea, Lord, thou love at last has conquered. Grant me now my supplication, none of self and all of thee. You know, that's the place that I want, that I believe God wants to lead us towards us. Because, and in our weakness, I hope that's where we move, because we realize we can't do it ourselves. We're not meant to do it ourselves. We don't need to do it ourselves. What we need to say is less of self, God, and more of thee. The journey. But it's a journey that we're called on to be. Even in the story of Gideon, that's kind of what it was all about. Because at first, when God chose this weakling to save Israel, Gideon went and got an army, and his army was 32,000 men. And God says, no, Gideon, that's not what it's about. Cut the army down. And in the end, Gideon had to get rid of most of the army, and he went to battle with 300 men. Why did that happen? Well, because this story was not about Gideon's weakness. This was about God's strength. Weakness in us, I pray, will drive us towards our God sometimes and say, look, I can't. That's why I need you. And God says, oh, I've been waiting for that for a while. Come on, let's do it. So weakness does not count us out from being with God. Weakness does not count us out from being used by God. Weakness creates an opportunity, I believe, for God. And then finally, God can turn our weakness into his strength. And that's the story, isn't it, from the church magazine in the end. That was the whole point of the story. This lad who's taking up judo and he's got his left arm missing, but he goes to the master and the master teaches him just one move. And the boy's like, what is going on? And then he suddenly realizes as he goes into competition that actually it's the only move he needs, because actually it was one of the most difficult moves. But the fact that he's not got a left arm means it becomes his strength, because the counter to that move is about somebody grabbing his left arm. And this sense of this weakness is turned around into a strength. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will not boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. And again, this is the story of Gideon. Verses 11 and 12. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the yoke of Ophrah, that belonged to Joseph the Abizite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, Lord, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And Gideon's like, as you read on, this is definitely not how Gideon saw himself. See, Gideon says, no, you've got it wrong, God. I come from the weakest plot. I'm the one of the least. I'm weak. I haven't got much going for me, God. That's how he saw himself. But God saw him as a mighty warrior. And as I wrote that down, I thought to myself, I just wonder how many mighty warriors might God see in this church today? And you're like, well, he won't be saying it to me, because I mess up. I've sinned. Blimey, if he knew my thoughts, if he knew what I'd done this week. And yet God might be saying to you, look, I see all that, as he saw all that with Gideon. But he still says mighty warrior. See, God sees something in us far greater than often that we can see ourselves. If we're just prepared to come to him, if we're prepared to just sort of walk with him and be open to his move and in our lives. And that's what happened to Gideon, you see. As you read on, even though Gideon's like, I'm not very good at this, I haven't got much going for me. But God says, mighty warrior. And then you read on in the story, and as you read on in the story, there's this great victory. The Midianites are defeated. To God be the glory. And I think that's what God wants to do. He says that, you might think, oh, I'm not that good. I'm not good enough. I can't talk. I'm not that good at explaining stuff. It's like going out to the precinct. I think you get that sense of, oh, no, God, I'm a bit nervous. What's it going to be like? And God says, look, you're a mighty warrior. I can use you. Just be available to me. Old Ehud. Do you remember our left-hander in our story in the Bible? When you read his story, not only is his left hand an advantage to what God wanted him to do, but actually it says in the end that because he's from the tribe of Benjamin, that's where he belonged to, the Benjamite tribe became skilled in using both hands in battle, which was a great advantage to them. God takes his weakness and he makes it into his strength. To God be the glory. And that's what I was trying to say, even in my magazine article, for those that have read it. I ponder hours over it, But I tried to give just a few examples, of when I've seen that in the world today. You know, people, if I put this, what about a Christian ex-offender going back into prison to help others? What about someone who in their past struggled with alcohol, now supporting someone else on a similar journey? What about a person who's lost someone close to them and God puts them alongside someone else who's lost someone to empathize and help? Time and time again, I've seen God turn people's weaknesses into his strength. And you might think, yeah, but I've got loads of weaknesses. I've been through this, all this is. And God says, yes, but even I can use those things. I can turn weakness into strength. So somehow I kind of hope that today's message is encouraging to you. Especially that those first points about the fact that your weakness doesn't count you out to be with God and your weakness doesn't count you out to be used by God. And certainly the third point, when I've tried to say, is that God can turn your weakness into his strength based around that story. I've said before, isn't it, one of the films we watched not long ago was the film Jesus Revolution. And I love that, I've said it before, but that line in it where the pastor of the church, a lot has gone on and the main guy has moved on in the film and the pastor's feeling a bit vulnerable, he's filled with doubt and he's sat at the back of the meeting and the meeting's going to go on and he knows that he's going to go onto the stage to have to preach and he's doubting himself and he's struggling with it and then his wife comes to him. Every pastor needs a good wife or a good husband depending on which one's the pastor. I'm glad I've got one. But his wife comes to this pastor who's struggling, sat at the back of the stage, thinking, oh, I can't do it, my main man's gone. And I love what his wife says to him. He says to the pastor, don't be so arrogant to believe that God can't work even through your failures and weaknesses. That gets me every time. Because I'm like, oh, thank you, God. Because I can be like that, as I'm sure some of you can. Oh, how can God use me? I've got weaknesses. I've got failures. I've messed up. Don't be so arrogant to believe that mighty God can't work even through your weaknesses, even through your failures. So as I finish my message, I finish like I finish my magazine article. I said this, so if you feel full of weakness today, you're in good company, okay? But if that is you, and actually it's all of us, then we need to go to the Master. And we need to see how those weaknesses can become his strengths. So be encouraged. We're all weak, messed up in some way. The Bible says that doesn't count you out. And I can still use you mightily and powerfully if you come to me, if you're available to me, if you let me. Good news, is it? Amen. Let's stand and sing.